Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Well, good day, good day, good evening, wherever you are. We thank you for joining us, whether you're live with us at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or wherever you are in the world. And if you're checking us out on demand, we thank you for that as well. We are the Transformation Cafe, so we like people to just come on in, scoot up on an international and internet level, and talk about some stuff that's going on the planet. So we thank you for joining us. We have a couple of our regular diners here. Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am doing incredibly well tonight, and what about you?
I am doing okay. I think tonight's going to be a perfect conversation to talk about some things and kind of how some things are shifting on the planet and where we are with kind of feeling emotions. Gloria and I were sharing that a little bit before we got on the air, so it'll be interesting to continue that conversation. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie is doing okay, I guess, as well, but I'm okay good.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I like that thing. I'm okay, good. There we go. I like that.
And I'm calling from the heart of the great Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington.
And how is Seattle tonight?
It was rainy and stormy and rainy.
Oh, my goodness. That's, for Southern California, that would be exciting. We have not gotten enough rain this season, so we kind of look forward to having a little rainy, stormy weather as long as it's on the gentle side. You know how that goes.
There's a lot of places that need rain that could use it.
Yes, yes. Move it gently over and, you know, have the gentle rains that come every 4 or 5 days and nourish the land. That would be a wonderful thing. So I have been working my way through a Stuart Wilde book, and Stuart Wilde has been around, gosh, I think since the 1980s. And he loves the whole philosophy of the Zen and Buddhism. He's got a book called The Infinite Self, 33 Steps to Reclaiming Your Inner Power. And it's a really great little book. I actually picked it up at a secondhand bookstore, which is wonderful to pick up. So it's always nice to pick up these books of spiritual learning for $5. You're like, woo, what a deal. But this one that I wanted to kind of just, it's always nice to have something that we jump off of for conversation. So this one was called Dedicating Your Life to the Sacred Way. And basically what it talks about is, you know, really developing a place of having a sacred attitude for life in general and looking at the fact that, you know, when you get involved in religious or sacred rituals that are meaningful to you, everything can become sacred. So it's even looking at people gathering for some certain reason, and, you know, we want to label it a wedding, and then there's certain traditional things that happen within that wedding. That gathering with these two people becomes a sacred ceremony. So looking at all the different things that you do in your life and think, how can I take this simple act or this simple, you know, thing that I normally do in my life and making it from a more focused level, a more level of intent, a more level of really being in this place of just remembering it. And Stuart talks about the fact when you really come from a place of loving something, you know, whether it be, you know, looking at washing your dishes and really loving and admiring the dishes and the way the water feels in your hands. I mean, some of it's almost really the same kind of formations we'd be talking about when we do meditation. This is kind of a slowing down and really looking and experiencing things in just more an expanded and open way of gratitude for just all the different things that you're doing in your life. And I had an experience today where I was at my flower shop, and I had a lady. She had hit a dog and brought the dog into the flower shop and basically asked me to take care of the dog because she had to go to work. And so there was this whole connecting to the dog, and the dog definitely was in trauma. You could tell it had been hit to the point where there was some internal injury, and the dog was really just fighting for its life, which was very interesting. So I swaddled the dog in a a tablecloth that I had, and I wound up asking my one of my supporters at the flower shop to come with me to the Humane Society to take the dog so we could get immediate attention and all that. But there was, because I read that and it had reminded myself a level of sacredness, there was a connection to the animal, which I think I probably would have had anyway because I really love animals. But just that level of, like, this is an extension of myself. This is a sacred moment that I can be, you know, in this moment and seeking to help and also seeking to connect with this being on a level when it's in this place of suffering. So, and wanting it to get better and get the help that it needed. So I just thought that would just be kind of a neat, didn't realize it was going to have this kind of a situation to put onto the conversation, but yet, and it's really moved me to a place of, I'm not sure how I am to have something like that happen to me in my life today. So, but yet, you know, I can stop and appreciate the grass and look at the sky and, you know, have a conversation or whatever food I'm eating and things like that, and just slowing everything down from a sense of having it be sacred. So, Jamie, you ever had anything like that where you've really, you know, do you do that every day where you find moments of your day to just really hold in just a slower and more appreciative way?
Well, first let me say that's a very tough situation that finding yourself thrust into, however it may have happened. And boy, I tell you, I have more empathy for animals than people sometimes, like I've said before. Anyway, sure, the sun is sacred to me. Anyway,
mm-hmm. Yeah, especially living in Seattle, when it shows up, you're like, woohoo!
Yeah, and I definitely try to be, I look for things, sure, but you know, when it's the animal thing, though, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, Mercury is coming into retrograde, I think, in the next couple of
years. Oh, is it? Do you know
when?
Is it going to happen, like?
By
tomorrow. Do you know about that, Gloria, of retrograde for Mercury?
I don't know anything about it. I have a friend who does astrology, but I don't.
Okay. Well, isn't that interesting? Because, I mean, the last couple of days have been quite a bunch of, like, stirring up for levels of just chaos. I was just kind of chalking it up to, like, you know, what are you going to do with this and what are you going to do with that? Didn't realize Mercury was going to go into retrograde. That's always interesting. So,
well, you know,
it was like, it's kind of like the Friday the 13th, you know, when people say stuff like that, like, ooh, it's going to be Friday the 13th. And other people think, oh, what a lucky day. You know, it's like, what's the mindset you're going to have for something like that? Instead of like, oh, it's Mercury in retrograde. You're like, oh, wow, what a lucky time. Mercury's going to be in retrograde.
Yeah,
I think you'll get a tattoo of that, in fact.
Yeah, like, what are we going to do to celebrate the fact that we're thinking something like that? It's just like,
but
what we're talking about when it comes to levels
of
things being sacred.
Sacred,
you know?
Sacred acts and being sacred. You know, when I do a tattoo, I try to, that's from a part of my, that loves to help people and help people that want to be helped. In my experience and something I could give to them, and you know, we have a little moment and it's in the now and it's pretty much ground you real good, and some people it's really sacred, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Other people it's just another, but there is a little ritual to putting everything together and then performing the little act, and then, you know, then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I could look at it that way sometimes.
You know what? And that is, you know, like you're saying, you know, you help people with their psychic armor.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's definitely something that's way more profound on a level, and just saying, you know, I'm putting a permanent art, you know, art expression on somebody's skin. I mean, it's the way we look at it, how we approach it, you know, how two become together.
In my experience as well, so I'm sure people have something that they love to do that they find a, you know, a well-being or a ease at doing something that's hard sometimes. Other people, but it just comes with practice. But again, if you love something and you're any good at it, it helps you as much as it can, I guess. But speaking about the sacredness about things, and I guess you could look at it that way, but that's just from my experience and opinion. So.
No, and I think that's really good, and you know, I'm glad you brought that up because you know, it's that inspiration, being in spirit. Inspiration literally means in spirit. When it comes to levels of creativity, no matter what it is, you know, that could be cooking, that could be parenting, that could be drawing, that could be whatever. It's just that act of coming from a focused sense of appreciation for something, loving something, like we're talking about, and having it be just a more profound thing. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's. I mean, do you put like candles on and things like that when people are getting a tattoo?
No. Although when I was starting out, I used to have a little different setup, and I'd actually have some sort of meditative music playing, you know, like gongs, and that would.
Oh, I was gonna say the Doors or something like that. Okay, no.
No. Like something to relax somebody and. One of my guys, he has some candles that he lights once in a while, but not every time, or we don't do a little chant and stand up and turn around and then light a couple candles and rub noses or anything before you do anything, but you know.
You don't do the hokey pokey before you get started, okay.
We could, though. I mean, we could make a little.
Yeah, because that could be a ritual, too, you know.
And that would be part of the whole, anyway.
Yeah, the hokey pokey has been accused of being a ritual. So there you go. Depending on what people do or don't do with it. So how about you, Gloria? Gloria, she puts us on mute sometimes when she's talking.
Hello.
So when it comes to levels of sacredness for your different things that you do, do you find that? Do you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's just I keep talking, and it's like nobody can hear me. So I figured
I can hear you. Oh, okay, I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Okay. So I am here.
So when you're just going through your day, is that something you've known to do for a while, or do you find there's certain things that in your life that you have that as a practice for being more just connected to certain things when you're doing them?
Yes.
I once read about a Japanese, it was a book on meditation and being in zazen versus not being there. And the example that they gave, and since I read it, I've made an effort to stay there, is when the railroad man in Japan would be cleaning the posts and the railing, that it always just really, really, the author was saying it really sparkled and it was always very clean. And one day he was on the, I don't know the area, the gang area, like the walkway area, waiting for the train.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the man cleaning. And you could see that the man who was cleaning was just so intent and so focused on his action that everything around him disappeared. And that was what the author had referenced as being in zazen, where you are immersed in the moment so much that you're just present with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so since I read that, I make an effort to do that with anything that is oftentimes considered a mundane task.
Mm-hmm. So that's like washing the dishes or sweeping the floor or anything like that. Well,
Anything
they even talk about that, like chop water and carry water, chop wood kind of a thing.
I don't know.
Which
I kind of
mindful
like the
practices.
Idea that chopping the water is supposed to harden your hands.
I know. Chopping water and carrying wood. There you go. Well, you could do both. You could definitely do both. So, but I just think that's just kind of such an interesting mindset for practice, and it's definitely something for me that walking through my day and you know, just imagining myself walking through a whole day and being dedicated to every act, every connection that you're making with people or driving or whatever, there's that level of sacredness with it. It would definitely be something that would take the effort of the practice, but yet there's a part of me that would just want to love it. and have it be fun and easy, and yet the being profound in its simpleness. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's that kind of challenge to have it be like that. So, and you know, can it be like that? I think that would be another thing that might be something you would question within yourself. But as you question it, isn't it kind of putting it on a plaque that, you know, you're kind of setting yourself up thinking that would be something possible, you know? So it's just I think it's a lovely way of really wanting to come and walk with your sacredness. It's like I have classes that I do on flowerful wisdom where people get together and they would actually pull, I bring different samples of flowers. People take flowers, put them in the vase, and I let them know that what they're picking has to do with something that says something about them. And it goes into Elizabethan language, it goes into symbology, it goes into shapes and colors, all different kinds of things that are all coming together for a languaging that the flowers carry. And people get so serious. And I used to always smile and laugh at that. But yet, since I've read this and it's been reminding me about that, I really recognize that they recognize that this kind of an action, putting a flower, a little bouquet together, they really could look at it as a prayer. They're looking at it as a way of connecting and expressing themselves on this way, like, I'm putting this together so it says something about me. It's just like, you know, painting a picture. In the painting, there's so much that can be involved with that, yet depending what you do or don't do, it's saying worlds about you and how you're seeking to express. So it's,
well,
it's a really, really interesting process. Yeah, I had gone to Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, and we actually did an event where we had one vase, and it was a team event for an Arbonne membership that they had, and everybody within that group put flowers into one vase, and it was so fascinating to see how the leader of the group, she started the bouquet, and then everybody put their flowers in, and as they did, the flowers kept shifting and changing, showing how they people had interrelationships with each other, the way they put the bouquet together. And there was even a dynamic of leadership, and we wanted to actually even picking flowers for people who weren't there, having their names and being able to have other people being surrogates for people, which was a really interesting process as well.
An interesting little twist on that, you could have it to show the different leadership styles also.
And
because
it did.
Whoever starts, well, you could remake the bouquet. Instead of having it morph as you go along,
mm-hmm.
you could have different leaders who start the process, and you could have photographs of each one to represent the kind of leader that each person is.
Mm-hmm. Within the group itself, because everybody's
right.
holding a certain expression of what they bring to the group and how everybody leads in whatever level that they do. Yeah, so it's really
because in one of the classes I was taking, we had to define what kind of a manager or leader we were for our company purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did the research, there are a number of different styles. And I was really surprised. And so you can come up with a different combinations. So you have a majority, you have like a major set, and then you have a subset.
Mm-hmm.
So it could show each
person. Well, and then you have, you know, that
they could direct the other people on where to put their flowers.
Yeah, exactly. Or, and we're seeking to be working in supporting each other. How would I pick something else that would be something that would either help to balance or, you know, change the direction of, you know, what was going on within the bouquet. So, you know, there's lots of layers to that kind of work, and a lot of people are really fascinated by, you know, putting it together. I always just think it's really fun because I'm always surprised in what happens and doesn't happen when we do events like that. So there's always a learning curve for me as well, which is always exciting because, you know, until we get in that room and everybody is where they is what it is, it really, it can constantly change until, you know, it's because to me it's just like a snapshot of where everybody is with their energy and what they're bringing to the group. So it's really cool. It's a very, very fun event. I'm going to be doing one in a couple weeks for a lady that was at that event. She's having a birthday party, and right now she's writing, she's thinking of things she wants to have for her next year, for her, in her birthday, you know, for her next year of life. And she's putting them in a special container and all that. And then her friends are going to come to the party, and they're going to go ahead and pull these different things that she has, not look at them, and pick a flower and then put it in the bouquet, and then we're going to open up what she had said with it and see how that's reflected in her new year that's being created and blossoming in front of her, so she can have it as a snapshot for her new year. So that's going to be interesting to see how that gets put together. So, you know, there's worlds of language out there in the way that spirit works and talks about, you know, where we are and what we can do with things like that. So just like message cards, there's other ways that you can be bringing those things onto the planet and have them being very organic in their process. So it's pretty cool. It's very, very neat. And like I said, it's always evolving and changing on whatever level, just like we are. So it's exciting. That's exciting. So it's definitely coming from that place of having it be sacred, having it be in the moment, have it being in a cherished way where, you know, like I said, it's an active prayer in the way that I put something together or put my love and attention on something. So that's exciting. So we just lost Jamie. He decided to go check out something in Seattle. So that's exciting. So how is it in San Diego, Miss Gloria?
You know, it's I've been doing a lot of work inside, and so while I'm inside, it's cool. I was surprised at how warm it's been. A lot of my plants were parched, and the wind blew some of my plants over today. So
we've been having this really weird weather where it's kind of damp and chilly in the mornings, and then in the afternoon it gets all dried out very quickly and winds up being a little bit on the warm side. Hasn't San Diego been warmer this year than it normally is?
I don't think so.
No, it's about normal. Okay. Jamie's back. Hey, Jamie. So.
Yeah, my old phone gave out, but here I am again. Can't get rid of
me. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. We don't want to get rid of you. We're glad you're here.
Okay.
So.
I wouldn't like that.
Yeah. So that's good. That's good. So is there any exciting weekend events or something that's coming up in Seattle? I mean, in the summertime, I'm sure they have different kinds of festivals and stuff that they put together. Anything exciting coming up?
Let me tell you, this weekend is the big gay parade for Seattle.
Oh, gay parade. Okay.
And we're in the Bohemian or gay district. Now, they took the parade and put it downtown. It used to come up to our district, and there were 30, 40, 50,000 people in the area. But now they do it downtown because it's a lot bigger.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
So we may not be busy because people are spending their money on other things, and it's towards the end of the month.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of crazy stuff like that happening.
Uh-huh. So how long have they had the gay parade? How many years?
Capitol Hill, where the shop is, and that's north of downtown, it's the most densely populated area of Seattle. Anyway, they had the parade up there for as long as the parade has been in Seattle. And then I'd say about 3 or 4 years ago, they started having it downtown. And it's on a bigger downtown to the Seattle center. So it's on a lot bigger level. So they definitely
have floats
gotten
and everything, or
larger.
Everybody kind of dresses up and has their little bands and stuff that they do.
Oh, that's quite a to-do. There's all sorts of stuff going on, you know. Much less the parade, but all the shows and parties and whatnot, I guess. I go to work and come home, but that's going on this weekend, so it should be kind of busy up there. You never know.
Yeah, I bet. I bet it's quite the well, that's exciting.
And hopefully the weather
will
be nice,
for these guys. Yeah, let's hope so. Be nice and safe for everybody. Well, that's fun. It's good to see that people are still getting out doing their annual activities and things that they've enjoyed doing. You know, I think that's really fun. I mean, I've been really keeping my kind of nose out of the news, as it was, because, you know, there's been so much propaganda and things that have been out there like normal, but, you know, we definitely have been seeing a lot of stuff, you know, going to the wayside, as it were, which is different things that are getting cleared out, which is interesting. I was at going to pick up some flowers the other day, and they had these guys on a corner that were had a big old poster of Obama with a Hitler mustache and saying they were, pull over here to impeach Obama. And I was like, wow, okay, here we go.
They have those guys up here, too.
Yeah, they were down here like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So is it the Republican Party that's really pushing for something like that, or?
I think it's the Lyndon LaRouche party.
Okay, because it said it was one of those, what do they call that? You know, where they've got the special funds
shocking,
and things
actually,
like that.
And
they do
that's
it.
How they get a little bit of attention for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was so surprised when, you know, with the last election, I mean, within like about a year and a half of Obama making it with his first term, they were already, you know, speculating on who was going to be running for the, you know, running for the second, you know.
Oh, of course.
Who was going to be running against
happens.
Him and all
that's
other stuff. And
works.
I'm like, yeah, you know, like, really? You guys have nothing better to do than to be focusing on something like that? I mean, you know, there's so many other things in the world that we could focus and talk about.
Well, that's a whole other 10 shows, you know.
Uh-huh.
But we don't want to start talking about politics.
No. Yeah, I'm just, you know, that's a fringe one, so that's about enough for me if I could talk about
most
that kind
definitely.
Of level. Well, and I was thinking to myself, you know, there's so much time and effort for something like that. Couldn't we do it for something that would really be benefiting people as opposed to something like that? You know, we could supporting, supporting the animals, supporting, you know, people for education, supporting all these other kinds of things that we could be doing.
Right.
So, you know, natural energy, you know, eating more raw food. I mean, there's all kinds of things
well,
we could
you know,
be talking
there's,
about.
There's a
like
lot
that.
Of things that are, there's a lot of things that are really not right, but there are a lot of things that are, you know, right. So, unfortunately, that's what happens.
Well, you know, and it kind of goes back to, I don't know why, but I'm thinking it just kind of goes back to the body. I mean, when people are looking at illness, they're looking at any kind of dis-ease within the body, you know, kind of stresses within the body, you know, people on a very holistic level will always tell you that there's more right with you than wrong with you. So when it comes to levels of wellness and any kind of challenges that could be affecting the body, when you remind yourself that there's more right than wrong, it's amazing how the body can turn itself around so much more quickly when it comes to stuff like that. So when it comes to levels, our levels of society and just looking at what's functioning, what isn't functioning, you know, it's almost like when you get that complaint or something from a customer and you can have 100 people tell you how wonderful you are, but it's that one person or one situation that winds up being something that didn't turn out quite right, and then you have to look at that and you beat yourself up for it when it's actually just, you know, you have to take it for actually what it is. That it was this one situation and, you know, for whatever reason it didn't turn out, you know, to be the perfect situation. So, but we always beat ourselves up for that. So, why is that?
Ain't that
I don't know.
Truth.
Yeah, that's totally the truth with that. So I think it's you know, coming from a level of did I do the best I could and am I seeking to, you know, provide a good service or whatever I'm doing with that? Can I know that when I focused on that, I was loving it? Like I said, you know, it was seeking to be sacred in what I was doing and having it be the best I could with my moment. And if you say, yeah, if it's not true for another person, it's not true for them. So, you know, just like loving yourself for that all thing. So. But anyway, that's just part of what we have going on. So, you know, in closing, we've got about a minute and a half here. Would really just like to, as always, thank my people who love to come up and scoot up to the table and say a few things every week. Love and appreciate you guys. And really just, you know, encouraging everyone who's listening in to just, you know, find things every day that you can come from a new and sacred place. You know, loving the world just a little bit more and being easy with ourselves, knowing that as we do, everything can get a little bit easier. We thank you for joining us at the cafe. We'll see you next time.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing